Exodus 20 be our starting place this evening. Exodus 20, we're studying Hebrews chapter 8. We came to the matter of a new covenant and thought we'd stop and take the time to study the eight covenants found in the Bible. We have had two sessions along these lines. We saw the Edenic covenant that made with Adam and his wife before the fall of man. And then we looked at the Adamic covenant. That's the covenant God made with the man and with Adam and with Eve, her new name after the fall. And that was in Genesis chapter 3. And we saw that God made provision for them to deal with life in a world now troubled, plagued by sin. Then we looked at the Noahic covenant, God providing a way of salvation for all those that would receive it from the flood that covered the earth. Eight souls were saved. And that Noahic covenant is the agreement God made with man for life on the earth after the flood. Then the covenant with Abraham. This one narrowed down the human race. The first three covenants had to do with all of mankind, all of humanity. This fourth one had to do with one family chosen out of all the peoples on the earth. And we saw the agreement that God made with Abraham. The farther your nation gets from the Bible, the more they will oppose the truths contained in these covenants. It's all the rage nowadays to be opposed to the covenant God made with Abraham. And we're anti-Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, / Israel. And all that is a code word for we're pro-Islam. And that's what you're dealing with, but you don't want to come out and say we're pro-Islam. We just say we're anti-Israel. And whether you're for it or against it really doesn't alter anything. God made that covenant, and God will see that thing through. And so the fifth of these covenants that we find in the Bible, and by the way, let me just say again, if you came out of a Protestant church, a Calvinistic church, you were taught some form of covenant theology as a Christian or pertaining to Christians. God made no covenants in the Bible with Christians. He didn't make any covenants with the church. He didn't make any covenants with those people who have been born again by faith in Jesus Christ. These covenants pertain to the human race or to the nation of Israel, none of them pertaining to the church. We don't have a covenant relationship with the Lord. We have a parent-child relationship with the Lord. We're born again. God is our Father. We are His children. It's not a legal matter. It's not a contractual matter. It's a personal relationship, and praise God for that. Anyway, Exodus chapter 20, and let's start here at verse number 1. God spake all these words. Moses has gone up upon Mount Sinai. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So Israel can't be the church. Church can't be Israel. The church was never in bondage in Egypt. Amen. Thou should have no other gods before me. Thou should not make unto thee any graven image. Verse number 7 here. Thou should not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Verse number 12, honor thy father and thy mother. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Verse 17, thou shalt not covet. And so these are the famous 10 commandments. Then also God gave all these other laws regarding civil life. You see them in chapter 21 and chapter 22, laws regarding oxen and restitution and usury and matters of practical living and conduct, men servants, maid servants, murder, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, building altars, making of idols. All of these things are detailed. Then the ceremonies, the feasts, offerings in the tabernacle, and construction of the tabernacle. Come chapter 34. That's a lot of laws all the way from chapter 20 all the way to chapter number 34. And here the Bible says in verse number 27, and the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel, not with the pastor and the church, with Moses and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So this covenant, this agreement between God and the nation of Israel, these are my laws for your people. And walk in these laws, and all the blessings contained in these laws shall befall you, or shall find you out. Come to Ezekiel chapter 20, and we'll see the sign. This is one of the covenants that has a sign. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse number 19. Ezekiel 20, verse 19, I am the Lord your God, walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths. And they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. So the Sabbath is a sign that the nation of Israel has accepted and ratified the covenant that God made with them at Mount Sinai in the giving of the law. You say, preacher, why would churches meet on the Sabbath day or on the seventh day of the week? And because they don't understand the Bible. Why would people call Sunday the Sabbath day? Why would they say in their church service, we're meeting together on this beautiful Sabbath morning? They don't understand the Bible. Sabbaths have nothing to do with Christianity. If you were trying to be a Sabbath keeper, and the only Sabbath you kept was the weekly Sabbath, you would again show a lack of understanding regarding the Bible. There were high Sabbath days, there were periods of time that were called Sabbaths. Every designated time of rest in Israel's national calendar was a Sabbath. And those Sabbath days, those days of rest, were an agreement that God made with His people, or with the people that made with God. And so when you see churches saying, we keep the law, we keep the Ten Commandments, we follow these things, again, just lack of understanding. That doesn't mean they're devils, doesn't mean they're unsaved. It just means they don't study their Bible properly and don't understand their Bible correctly. And you say, how do you know they're not keeping the Sabbath? Because if someone broke the Sabbath, they were to be stoned, put to death. And I don't know any Sabbath-keeping church that has a place out back. Instead of a volleyball pit, they have a stoning pit. You know, it's like, what's this pile of rocks for here? That's for those people who took a job working Saturday. And so, in fact, you couldn't travel on a Sabbath day, which makes it really tough to drive to church to keep the Sabbath when you weren't supposed to go anywhere on a Sabbath day. And so you see up in Leon Springs, they've got some Orthodox Jewish congregation up there, and you'll see them sometimes on a Saturday walking down the highway going to their place of worship. And the idea is that if we're walking, we're not traveling. So that's a little different. I'm not trying to be insulting. At least they're going, you know, keeping their covenant, their agreement. But anyway, this is also still in effect. This law, once it went into effect, God never rescinded that law. Israel is supposed to be living under that law to this day. You say, how can they live under the law scattered in all these different countries? They weren't supposed to be scattered in all these different countries. They were scattered because of their disobedience. If they were obedient to God, He would have blessed them. They would have stayed in the land. They would have been free from all their enemies. They wouldn't have needed an army or an air force or any type of intelligence operation. All they'd need is God's blessing upon them and God's protection over them. That was part of the covenant. And when they failed to keep their side of the bargain, the covenant agreement, they lost God's protection. As a result, they end up losing their land and their prosperity and all the rest of that. But it will be restored, praise the Lord, because God keeps His promises. And that'll happen during the time of great tribulation and leading into the second coming and the millennial kingdom. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 7. Covenant number 6 is the Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel chapter 7. This covenant was given to King David, who was not king of the United States or king of white people or king of a church. He's the king of Israel. And God made a covenant with him regarding a throne. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And verse number 4. It came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle, and all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. Now, if that hasn't happened, one of two things is true. God lied, or it's prophecy awaiting fulfillment. You say, well, God scrapped Israel and he transferred it to the church. Okay, where is the church's land? Where God has planted them and they dwell safely and the children of wickedness don't afflict them. If you say that that's not Israel, that's the church, well, today and for the last 2,000 years, that's been no more true of the church than it has been of Israel.
Right.
So if you try to, you know, do the bait and switch and move it from one people to the other and say, well, God didn't keep the covenant that he promised he would keep because the children are disobedient, well, who's he going to transfer it to? A people equally disobedient? Who never had any land? You're not the heirs of King David. You're not descendant of King David. The only throne the church is concerned with is the throne of God in heaven.
Amen.
Where Christ sitteth on the right hand. And so all of this political involvement and all of this trying to, you know, win the election, all that stuff. Why are you trying to bring in a kingdom when the kingdom never pertained to us? It never did. It's a secondary issue, and it gets people away from preaching the gospel and proclaiming the word of God. So I like our liberties. I like our freedoms. I like our constitutional republic, and I believe all that was founded on Old Testament law. I'm glad for it. But you try to cross that line and make America Israel and make the church the chosen elect people and start trying to claim. Then what are you going to do? You're going to try and claim the land between the Atlantic and the Pacific and north of the Rio Grande and south of the Great Lakes as the land God promised his people, and it's not.
Right.
Abraham never set foot on one yard of this territory over here. And God said, I'm going to give the land to where Abraham set his feet.
Right. Yes,
and Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees and traveled across the land of the Canaanites and then went down to Egypt and then came back into the land of Canaan. And God said, I'm going to give you all that land right there.
Yes, sir.
And so anyway, I'm just reinforcing what we talked about the other evening. Verse 11, and as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, according to this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Now, if you read that, without proper care and consideration, You could say, this is God passing a blessing from David to Solomon. There's a difference between Solomon building a house for the Lord and the Lord building a house for Solomon. Big difference. Solomon did build the temple, but look at the verses again. Verse number 12, David is going to die. And God said, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Now, you say, that's Solomon. All right, 13. He shall build a house for my name, Solomon. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That's not Solomon. Because as surely as David died, Solomon died. And as soon as Solomon died, his kingdom was divided. And David's kingdom didn't last to his grandsons. The kingdom David left to Solomon, Solomon didn't leave to his heirs because it busted in two and was never reconciled again to this day. Now, verse number 14, I will be his father, he should be my son. Solomon's the son of David, but he's not the son of God. What this promise is a son of David who is also the son of God. That's not Rehoboam. I'll be his father, he should be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the children of men. Well, guess what? There is a son of David who is also the son of God who never committed iniquity.
Yeah.
Only one. But my mercy shall not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever. Now watch. Before thee. Solomon's kingdom, Solomon's throne was established after David was dead and David didn't see one day of it. But someone from David's loins, David's lineage, is going to sit on David's throne. With David and God as his father, and he will not commit iniquity, and David will be there to see it. That's what you just read. Look what it said. Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. That can't be Solomon. Because Solomon's throne wasn't established forever. Solomon died just like David, and however Solomon lived, however Solomon died, David wasn't there to see it. Thy throne shall be established forever. So what your Bible teaches, and this was the big thing that just blew the minds of the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, when Jesus Christ claimed to be David's Lord and from David's seed, they couldn't wrap their heads around that.
Right.
I am the son of David. Here's my genealogy tracing me right back to David's throne, but I'm the son of God. Here's my genealogy tracing me all the way back to eternity. I am the child of Mary, running all the way back to Abraham. I'm the son of man, running all the way back to Adam. Turn the page. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And Jesus said, "Well, you want to do questions and answers? I got a question for you. If he's David's son, how did David call him Lord?"
Yeah.
And they just turned their chips in and walked away from the table. They weren't going to even try that one.
Right.
So you know what you got? You have, now let's just see if this matches what the Bible says. We can't run 500 references tonight. We could, but cut into the singing time. Lauren can't stay up late anymore. So what if God, the Son, was manifest in the flesh and was born King of the Jews? And what if he took the place of sinners, listen, being chastened with the rod of man and with the stripes of the children of men.
Yeah.
So you could be saved, born again. Wasn't his sin, it was other people's sins. But what if he then rose from the dead, ascended to the Father's right hand, to return to this earth in power and glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and sit not in the White House, not in the Kremlin, not in Beijing, but on Mount Zion in Jerusalem on David's throne. You say, well, there's a mosque there. Then it'll have to come down.
Amen.
Now, if that was true, God would be keeping the covenant he made with David, that my son in your line will sit on your throne in Jerusalem, listen, forever. And because it is post first resurrection, David will be there to see it. There's 15 verses in the Bible say David's going to be a prince under King Jesus in the coming kingdom. So that's the covenant that God made with David. And if you don't like that, listen, I know somebody else who didn't like God's plans for who sat on a throne. And he said, no, I don't want, at that time, the Word. I don't want the Word to sit on the throne. I want to sit on the throne.
Yeah.
And my question to all these, boys in America running around with Arafat scarves on their head. Who do you want to sit on the throne? If you don't want Jesus on the throne, who do you want on the throne? If you don't want the throne at Jerusalem, where do you want it?
Go ahead.
And why do you care?
Right.
And honestly, people don't even know why. They instinctively have a hatred for one group of people. They kill people. You know how much killing goes on in Africa? You know how much killing goes on in Southeast Asia?
Yeah.
You know how much killing goes on in the United States of America? You can't say I just hate people because they kill and they wage war. Everybody does.
Yeah. That's good preaching.
There's just some resentment in the heart of man for anybody God gave a superior blessing to. Why have people persecuted the church for 2,000 years? Honestly, if Christians live like Christians, they'd be the best citizens you could have in their country. They don't rob, they don't steal, they don't take our wives, their children aren't filling our jailhouses, they don't peddle dope, but they just won't offer incense to our gods at our altars. Well, so what? You don't take your religion seriously anyway. Why does it bother you that Christians don't practice it? Right? I mean, just pick a country where they're persecuting Christians because they won't bow down to the local idols. Well,
yeah, right. Come on.
It's not like they're all devoted to their deities, whoever they might be. There's just something instinctive about we want to snuff out Christians. Why? Well, it's because God blessed them.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
It's an opposition to God.
Yeah, right.
So the Lord's going to give Jesus Christ David's throne.
Amen.
And he's going to be King of the Jews.
Amen.
And that was the issue from the start. The wise men go to Herod and say, hey, we're looking for him that's born King of the Jews. Oh, really? Tell me where I can find him. Why? Well, I'd like to worship him. And they drew him a map and he went to the manger, and he was 2 years too late because Jesus wasn't there anymore. So you know what he did? Well, wherever he is, we're going to kill him. So he kills everybody 2 years old and under in the whole territory, trying to get rid of Jesus. Why? Well, not because he was a carpenter.
Right.
Not because he could walk on water. Not because he didn't sin, but because he's a king.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So Herod tries to get rid of him. Then 33 and a half years later, there he is standing on trial, and Pilate comes out. He says, are you a king? They said, you're a king. And Jesus said, no, you said I'm a king.
Yeah.
You said I'm a king. That's what this is all about.
Amen.
And they're standing, that crowd standing there, we have no king but Caesar. You're wrong. Now you can worship Caesar, you can pay tribute to Caesar, you can serve Caesar, but Jesus Christ is your king. And the mistake they made, they thought if they killed him, he would never be their king. Surprise, surprise, surprise. He's coming back. And when they see him, Zechariah says, they will wail and mourn because of him. Oh no, him again? You think after 7 years of great tribulation, they'd be cheering and excited to see Jesus Christ, their Messiah and deliverer, coming, but they won't be. You know how messed up people are? Listen, this is how messed up they are. 7 years of great tribulation, and if Jesus would just come down here, get rid of the beast, and then go back where he came from, they'd be content. But if he's going to come down here, get rid of the beast, and sit on a throne and rule all nations with a rod of iron, they don't want that. Isn't that wild? But you know what God said? Verse 16, thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever.
Amen.
That's not David. That's not Solomon. That is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Look in Luke chapter 1. Just go over there quickly. Luke chapter 1. We'll probably see this again a time or two in the next few weeks. Luke chapter 1. And verse number 30. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Amen.
You know what that is? That's the Davidic covenant of 2 Samuel chapter number 7. Praise the Lord. Psalm 72. Psalm 72. Psalm number 72. And verse number 1. Psalm 72, verse 1. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish in abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. You can chant all you want. We're going to drive them from the river into the sea. You're wrong. From the river to the sea and to the ends of the earth, Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign. On the throne of David, they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. There it is. That's coming. It's coming. So I don't believe that. A lot of things people don't believe. It doesn't stop them. Now, what's the sign of this covenant? Interesting. Listen to this, see if you recognize this. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this should be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You know God had to write the Bible. If we just tonight, if I hadn't read you that verse and I said, okay, a king from David's line who is God's son is going to come back and take over the governments of this earth and rule and reign forever from David's throne at Jerusalem, What would be the sign for that? Coming on a white horse. Flaming fire, vengeance, power, almighty power. God says, no. A babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. You know why? It's just God saying, you don't think I can do this, do you?
Yeah.
I'm going to show you I could do it with a baby. That you don't even know where he came from or how he got here.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord. So God bring about, he'll bring about the fulfillment of this covenant. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 30. The next, and this has been called by this name ever since people started doing systematic studies of the Bible. The seventh covenant has historically been called the Palestinian covenant. And that's a Bible term for a piece of land. It's not a Bible term for a race of people. Did you know if you had 40-some countries that all practiced one religion, in all those 40 countries there were undesirable people that were expelled from those 40 countries, and they all ended up in one place, and you named them after the place they ended up, that wouldn't make them a people?
Right.
What about the Palestinians? You mean the people who live in a little piece of land called Palestine, when biblically the entire land grant God gave to Abraham was called Palestine? I said, preacher, what's your take on the political situation over there in the Middle East? I don't have one. There's people over there called Jews. They need the gospel. They need to be saved.
Yeah.
There's people over there called Muslims. They need the gospel. They need to be saved. There's Palestinians. There's Jordanian. There's Lebanese. There's Emirates. You know what they need? They need to hear about Jesus Christ and get saved. That's our sole concern.
Yeah.
So what about straightening out the political situation over there? Jesus Christ is going to straighten it out when he returns, and nobody else is going to. It's not gonna happen. Well, you know, we got them lay down their arms and their weapons, and for what? 12 hours? Those treaties over there last until somebody crosses the street. Anyway, God made this agreement. Look at verse number 1, chapter 30. It's come to pass when all these things come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. So the people to whom God gave the law and the land, Abraham, Abrahamic covenant, the land, Mosaic covenant, the law, when they disobeyed God, didn't keep the commandments, what did he do? He drove them off the land and into the nations.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Not enough time. Verse 2. And shalt return, look, whither that Lord thy God driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. You know what the Jews in Fort Lauderdale are doing? Not that.
Yeah.
You know what the Jews in Argentina are doing? Not that. You know what the Jews in New York City are doing? Electing a Muslim.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Not that.
Right.
You say, when do you think that mess is going to be fixed over there in the Middle East? When the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob obey his voice according to all that he commanded them.
Right, yes, sir.
With their children, with all their heart and with all their soul.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Donald Trump can't make that happen.
Right.
Marco Rubio can't make that happen. Santa Claus can't make that happen. Well, how do you think that thing over there is in the Middle East, how do you think it's going to straighten out? It's not going to straighten out until Christ returns.
Yeah.
But anyway, look what he says, verse 3. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. As long as man's trying to do it, it's not the fulfillment of prophecy. God is going to get every living Jew that obeys the word of God from their heart. He's going to bring them back from wherever they are on the face of this earth and put them where? In the land that he promised them. Now, in the meantime, it's just going to be more bombs and more missiles and more deaths and more peace treaties and more money poured down tunnels and rabbit holes in senators and congressmen's pockets. But God promised, I'll give you all that land as soon as you're ready to obey me. And you'll dwell there safely as soon as you're ready to obey me. And it's going to take 7 years of Jacob's trouble to bring them place where they're willing to obey. Anyway, verse 4, if any of thine be driven out of the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Got it? Now, where are you going? Aren't you going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord? The rapture takes place tonight. Aren't you going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord? We're not looking for God to give us back a piece of land and territory we can fly our flag over. And that's not the church. It's not Christianity. These covenants have to do with the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God's going to give them that territory. And it doesn't matter how you vote, and it doesn't matter if you pay your taxes or don't pay your taxes, God's going to bring this to pass.
Yes, sir.
And it's pretty evident nobody else can and nobody else will.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Hebrews chapter 8. There's an 8. There's an 8. It's a new covenant. It's a new covenant. Hebrews chapter 8. You know, here's a funny thing. But you've got politicians in America trying to convince, they say, I read these statistics, America's anywhere between 57 and 43% Christian. Where?
Yeah.
You guys go to work. What's the percentage? Where? Where are they? I don't know. What's population to land? Let's say population to land, 25,000. Well, that'd mean 12,500 were in church this morning, right? Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. Anyway, so these politicians, they won't pretend they're Israel and this is Zion and we're bringing in the kingdom. You tell me which of them adheres to thou shalt not covet.
Right. Right. Yeah.
They don't want that kingdom. Thou shalt not commit adultery. PC is like a sewer of adultery and covetousness. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
How about this one? Thou shalt not bear false witness. You know what God said? When you keep my commandments with all your heart. So even if you were going to pretend that America was Israel, you, in order for God to set up some kind of kingdom here, the people of this land would have to be obeying God's commandments with all their heart. And in fact, they're disobeying his commandments with all their heart. So let's just give up this whole idea of bringing in the kingdom and do what God asks us to do and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Tell people how to get saved and born again. All right, anyway, new covenant. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 7. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second? What was the problem with the covenants God made with Israel? Israel. Problem was with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their offspring and David and Solomon. And there's nothing wrong on God's end, but something wrong on the people. All right, so verse 8, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Now stop here just for a minute. Some people think the church is Israel, or Israel became the church, and some people think Israel and the church are never traded places, but that Hebrews is written to Jews, not to Christians. Well, can we read it again? Again, you are the congregation of Hebrews to whom this letter was written. It's 60 AD. You are saved by trusting Christ as your Savior, and you got this letter from the Holy Ghost. You ready? For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. He's writing to the people who are getting this letter. They're not part of Israel anymore.
Right.
Israel to those believers is a them and a they. He didn't say, I'll make a new covenant with you. Because they're Christians now. They're not Jews. They were born Israelites, but they left that for Christianity. All right, now watch. Verse 10, for this the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they should be to me a people. And they should not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all should know me from the least to the greatest. That's coming.
Yeah, yes, sir.
That's the new covenant. But you can't say God made the new covenant with the church, because some of you have been saved 50 years and you don't have his laws and commandments written in your heart. Amen. And you know why we're going out Christmas parades and St. Augustine and door knocking and track passing and loading up the vans and going here and there and bringing in bus kids? Because everybody doesn't know the Lord from the least to the greatest.
Right.
When this new covenant goes into effect, everyone will know the Lord because he is ruling and reigning visibly over the earth and will have rid the earth of all who don't know him. Drastic measures.
Yeah.
In that he saith, or 12, I'll be merciful there in righteousness, their sins and iniquities I remember no more. In that he saith the new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. All right, Jeremiah 31, let's finish up there this morning. Jeremiah chapter 30, this evening, sorry. Jeremiah 31, it's morning somewhere. Jeremiah 31, and verse 27. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge, but everyone should die for his own iniquity, and every man that eateth sour grape, his teeth should be set on edge. It won't be a national punishment. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. There it is right there in those verses. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. 12 tribes, 10 northern Israel, 2 southern Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So whoever God makes the new covenant with, it's the same people with whom he made the old covenant. And the old covenant is people who came out of Egypt. That's not America. Or white people or the church. So why do you keep saying that? Because I'm tired of hearing it.
Yeah.
Tired of people mingling politics with the Bible and trying to make political events the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Anyway, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Praise God. So that's the eighth covenant. It's the new covenant. Covenant with Adam and his wife in the garden. Covenant with Adam and his wife and all their offspring when they fell into sin. Covenant with Noah and his descendants, the human race following the flood. Covenant with Abraham, one people out of all the races and nations. Covenant with Moses, that's the law governing the people's life in the land. Covenant with David, that's regarding the king to sit upon the throne. Palestinian covenant, that's the location of the land God gave to Abraham and his descendants. And then the new covenant, when they stop struggling and striving to keep the law because it's an external thing, and begin to live in this great freedom and liberty of living the law because it's an internal thing. It goes from being a matter of the heart, of the head on the outside, to a matter of the heart on the inside. Now, what's the practical lesson for all that? These commandments, instructions God gave us in the New Testament, if they're matters of the head and external, you'll never live them because you never want to live them. Factual information, but contrary to your desires. If you ever get God's word for the Christian in your heart, it's easy to live it out. It's not easy to live it when it's on the outside or without, but it's easy to live it out if it's on the inside. And so you come church here and appreciate that you do and learn the truths of the Word of God. But far better if you get them in your heart.
Amen.
Easier to live what's in your heart than what's in your head. So, all right, those are the eight covenants, and we're looking forward to the establishment of that new covenant, because that'll mean Christ is on the throne.
Amen.
And we're going to rule and reign with Him in His kingdom, and that'll all be very exciting. So let's pray and Richard, come and start us on this adventure of Fifth Sunday singing. Just follow his lead. It always goes well. We follow Richard's lead. Amen. All right, Father, thank you for the Bible. Please, Lord, help us to walk in the light that you've given us in your word. So many Christians and churches are sidetracked today into matters that don't pertain to us at all, and missing out on the great joy and Holy Spirit power of living in accord with your desires for your church. Pray you to help us to understand these things and practice them in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we do pray, and amen. All right, Richard.